church? Can you hear me okay? Yeah. They really prompted me well to make sure I turn the microphone on, because that's a good thing, right? Good morning, everyone. My name is Tom Trzynski, as I've been introduced. I have the incredible honor of being the center director of the Rochester campus of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge here. But I also have the incredible honor of being married to this beautiful woman. Next month, it'll be 29 years. Her name is Carmen. We have four kids, Katie, Emily, Molly, and Joey. We had one get married this summer, which is kind of a weird thing, okay? And we have one that's going away to college this coming Saturday. So Saturday afternoon, Carmen and I will be empty nesters, which is kind of cool and weird all at the same time, that life goes by this fast, right? There's some other things that you can find out about me, but one of the things that many people don't know is that I'm an incredible baseball fan. I love baseball, and there is some heresy in this room right now because somebody's wearing an Oakland A's t-shirt right in front of me, and that hurts, friend. I thought we were dear and close friends, so tomorrow, okay. But I love baseball, you guys. I'm one of those weird guys that believes that 162 games a year is not enough, okay? Carmen and I actually go down to Fort Myers in the spring for spring training. I got Rochester Honkers tickets this year. Nathan went with me to a game. I coached baseball in Eagan. I've even been offered an opportunity to coach baseball and or softball here at Century High School. I just love baseball. In fact, last week at this time, I was out on the East Coast. I have a local friend here. His name is Bob. And we go on baseball road trips. Our desire is to see every Major League Baseball team by the time we kick, right? So we're ready to hit all these. And this year, we flew into Baltimore, went to see a game at Camden. Then we went to Pittsburgh, to PNC Park, which is amazing. We went to Philadelphia, and then last Saturday, we were in Washington, D.C. watching the Nationals. And it was awesome. It was awesome. But I saw something as a player, as a coach, that I never thought I would see at the professional level last week in Philadelphia. The Phillies were batting. There was a hit to deep third base, and the third baseman went back, got it on his backhand, and came up firing. That's what they do, right? But here's the interesting thing. It was deep enough that the runner should have been safe, but he got thrown out. And here's what was really interesting is just watching him coming out of the batter's box, he didn't really give it much. And you could tell that not only was he frustrated, but the first base coach was kind of like, you're a professional, why didn't you leg this out? And you could see the guys that were on deck, his teammates that were really actually counting on him as the Phillies are in the playoff hunt, kind of, why'd you lay up short? And I don't know what the manager did, but I bet you he had a few words. When you hit the ball, go for it. That's what you do, run it out, right? Well, I came home and I told my son that, who played baseball at Century High School, and he likes to relive his father's pain. I don't know why they do this, why kids do this, but he reminded me of a time when I came up short. He reminded me of a time when I was playing, I think it was high school or college ball, and I got a hit. Now I'm a catcher, okay? Catchers aren't known for their offensive prowess. We're more defense, right? At least that's what a poor batter says. And so I'm on first base. And guess what? I got the steal sign. It was nuts. I got the steal sign. I never got to steal a base. And so you'd kind of watch for the pitcher's delivery to know if it's going to be the right pitch, maybe an off-speed pitch where it's a little slower. And guess what? I saw my opportunity. And you guys, I ran. And to listen Joey tell the story is just hilarious. But I could see out of the corner of my eye, the catcher caught the ball and he came up firing. And so what do? I dive head first. I mean, trauma. This is awesome. This is such a traumatic event. And I dive, and there's a big cloud of dust that comes. And guess what? I was about 3 feet short of the second base. I don't know if I jumped too high and came down like a belly flop, but the shortstop that was covering actually had to get off second base and take a few strides to take me out. I came up short. In fact, I came up way short, didn't I? There's a reason why I'm sharing that story with you today. And I'm just going to read you this really quick. It's from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the first verse. It's a verse that God put on my heart about 3 weeks ago for you. The author of Hebrews was talking to the Israelites about what happened when Moses was leading the nation of Israel out of Israel. And because of some disobedience, because of some lack of belief, not going through doors that the Lord was opening, he says, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. God is saying there's a promise of entering the promised land that was before you. Don't be found caught falling short of it. But 3 weeks ago, I knew what I was going to be speaking to you about. I was going to be speaking to you about Colossians chapter 3 and how God used Colossians chapter 3 to lead me through my daughter's wedding a couple weeks ago. But about 3 weeks ago, I was on my prayer walk, and God stopped me dead in my tracks to share something different with you today. I believe that God has given someone in this room, many people in this room, an incredible promise. I believe that there's a calling on someone's life, or there's going to be a calling that's coming on to many in this room. And the enemy is going to use fear. He is going to use the complexity of the situation. He's going to use other type of things to have you stop short of going through that door that God is calling you to. Don't be caught stopping short. I am here today to give you a word to challenge you, to encourage you, to motivate you, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And you know what? He's going to set your path straight. You know what? He's going to open that door, and you're going to enter through it in a victorious, victorious way. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 10. And I want to share with you what God put on my heart for you today. I was going through the book of Joshua, and I remembered what God did in my heart about 2 years ago at this time to help me go through a door that He was calling me to, but literally I was paralyzed by fear. It's a tangible thing that you can even see today, and it's a reminder of what God has done for us. What we see is the nation of Israel entering the promised land. Because of doubt, Moses and Aaron and others did not get to enter through it, but two men who had faith, Caleb and Joshua, went through and said, we can take this. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's incredible promise there. We can do this. And here's Joshua now confronting five armies of Amorites, idol worshipers, baby sacrificers, ungodly tribes, five tribes in Gibeon. And with the challenge, and the challenges that we face, listen to what God says. Joshua chapter 10, we're going to start in the 7th verse. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all of his best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel so that Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going through Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Mazadah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail then were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajan. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nations avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Isaiah. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There was never been a day like it before, or a day where a day that the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting with Israel. Father God, in this place, I pray that your presence would be here. Father God, you have incredibly victorious plans for us. Plans where we are not to live by the enemy stealing and killing and destroying the plans and the promises that you've given us, but you've given us abundant life, to have life and to have it to the fullest. And Father God, I believe you want to reveal your heart to each and every one of us today about the plans and the promises that you have called us to. And so, Lord, we trust this time into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, there's something that I want to do. I've never actually done this before. I hope you'll join me on this. Would you just take a big breath in? Would you just inhale? And now exhale. I want you to do it again. Inhale God's goodness, God's grace, and exhale your worries and your stress. I believe that for someone in this room today, perhaps all of us in this room today, God's going to give us something where we can feel His peace, His grace, His direction. I want to tell you a quick story as I get into this. It was 2 years ago, this past May. I was at our cabin in western Wisconsin. It was a great day. It was a sunny day. What was interesting is the day before was not like that. It was the opening of fishing in Wisconsin. All of our neighbors up at the lake had made plans to hang out together to fish. But guess what? That day was a snowy, sleety day. It was terrible. It was miserably cold. Winter jackets on in May. Hats, gloves. It was terrible. So bad that our neighbors actually left and went home. They said, we're tapping out. We're done with this. Tommy, you can stay if you want. And I did. And the next day came, and it was sunny. It was awesome. It was opening a fishing, and guess what? The fish were biting. Oh man, Tommy's eating good and he's eating well tonight. The can of tuna can stay in the cupboard for another day. I'm eating fresh fish. Okay? But here's the amazing thing. Now picture this. I'm out on the lake. The sun is just glowing in its radiance. I've got shorts and a t-shirt on where the day before I was wearing a winter coat and winter hat and gloves. The sun was not only out, but the moon was out. Have you ever seen that, where the sky is just so clear that you can see the sun and the moon? I looked across, and at the shore, there was a deer drinking water. It was so cool. Then there was eagles going over our head. And then there was a loon. What a beautiful sound. And as awesome as that was, you guys, I felt like this 700-pound gorilla on my back. I'm sitting there enjoying what I love to do, and I felt a weight on me that literally almost brought an anxiety attack for me. You see, I knew that God had called us to build a women's treatment center, but just the overwhelming amount of details crippled me, paralyzed me. At that point, it was $6.4 million to raise. The board said you can't build anything until you raise that amount of money. It might as well have been $60 million. We were brand new to the town. People really didn't know us. How am I going to raise that kind of money here? And then how am I going to staff it? My goodness, it was hard to find 60, 70 employees. How am I going to raise up to 125, 126 staff members? And where will the clients come from? I'm in this boat, you guys, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. And I didn't know what else to do other than saying, God, help me. Those were the three words that I said, God, help me, about 20 years earlier, when in a drug-induced fit, I drove a motorcycle full speed in the back of a truck, broke my hip, almost died, and I cut off my right foot. As I was laying on the pavement with nowhere but up to look, I cried out, God, help me. Now here I am in that boat, finding myself doing the very same thing. God, help me. What God did, friends, over the next 6 hours through the Word of God, through a prayer and a message on my phone by a pastor named Neil Rich, who I partnered with for 15 years at Cedar Valley Church, totally changed that around. Paul, a door that I thought was closed, a mountain that I thought was incomparable, all of a sudden became doable. And because of the three things that the Lord showed me, and I'm going to share with you today, that building, which turned out to be $7.1 million, is not only up, but it's 100% paid for. It is 100, I have 126 staff members. The building is getting full. Your ladies went a week ago and did a spa day and blessed our ladies beyond compare. I'm not here to talk to you about Teen Challenge today. I'm here to talk to you about the promise that the Lord has given you. That day in that boat, I could have stopped short. That day, I could have said, I mean, I just can't do it. There's too many unknowns. What's the challenge that God is calling you to? What is that door that He wants you to walk through? What is that thing that He needs you to say, God, help me? You ready? The first thing I want to share with you that God shared with me is, Tommy, you got to start praying big God-sized prayers. Tommy, you got to start praying big God-sized prayers. Now, if you're like me back that day, what do you think I'm doing? Have you not seen the plaque on my wall? Jesus, I'm an ordained pastor. Praying is what I do. But He says, Tommy, what kind of prayers are you praying? Are they big God-sized prayers or are they God-sized prayers? And you know what He shared with me? My God had gotten pretty small. That I was praying God-sized prayers, but my prayers were pretty puny. Then I read verse 12. Joshua says, O sun, stand still. Who prays prayers like that? Oh, sun, stand still. I remember when I used to pray prayers like that. I remember when I would pray big, hairy, audacious prayers like that and see mountains move. But I think I had gotten so busy. I've gotten so involved in the religion that God had gotten a little bit small. Friends, what's God calling you to? What's the size of your God? How big are your prayers? With that challenge, after seeing Joshua say, oh, sun, stand still, I started praying big prayers. I said, God, I don't have any land to build this building. Open that door. You guys, you know, within about 2.5 weeks, the Sisters of Assisi Heights, who told us to go kick rocks today, we're not selling you any land. Do you know within 2.5 weeks they called and said, we're interested in selling you some property? I said, Lord, how are we going to make this possible? It appraised at $120,000 an acre, you guys. We needed 3 acres, $360,000. Do you know that they sold it to us for $12,000 an acre? How are we going to raise this money? The Lord allowed that to happen, I believe, because I started praying big God-sized prayers. What I found is that I wasn't praying those big prayers, those big God-sized prayers. How about you? What I found is that the inverse is also true. That if we start praying big God-sized prayers, amazing things will happen. Doors will open. Is there a relationship that you need to have fixed? Pray for God to do that. Is there some forgiveness in you or in somebody else that you need? Is there a big calling that God has called you to that you're stopping short on? Don't do that. Start praying big God-sized prayers. Joshua did that. Oh, sun, stand still. And think what he experienced. You see, Joshua saw, as a slave in Israel, he saw the nation of Israel get released from Egypt. He saw the parting of the sea so that he could walk through. He saw the sea collapse on top of the Egyptian army. He saw the manna. He saw the water. He saw them being able to cross the Jordan River at flood stage with 2.5 million people. He saw it. His God was a big God. And he prayed those kind of prayers. What would happen if we would start doing that? I started praying those. And that building is up and lives are being transformed. Friends, this is not an attack, but I want to just ask you, how big is your God? An ordained pastor, a leader here in town, found out that I was praying some pretty small prayers. Look what God has done. What about the promises that He's given you? Pray big God-sized prayers. The second thing that God showed me is that I need to trust God with the details. I need to trust God with the details. I'm in that boat going, oh my word, this can't happen. I bit off way more than I can chew. I don't have the land. How are we going to raise the money? Where's the staff going to come from? Where are the clients? Oh my word, what did I do? The pressure that was on me was amazing. And as I sat in that boat, I looked up at the sun and I go, think about this. If that sun cools down or heats up just even a few degrees, I'm either going to freeze to death or burn to death. But He keeps it going at a constant rate. How about that moon? How does that puppy just hang there? I mean, look at it. It's just hanging there. It's just beautiful. But how does He do that? And then that deer, those eagles, those loons, how does He do this? And all of a sudden, God kind of put in my heart that God is a God of details. That's what God does. He is into those details. Look at verse 7. It says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all of the best fighting men. Did you know that from Gilgal to Gibeon was 25 miles? Did you know that it's an ascent of over 2,000 feet? It says that after an all-night march, Joshua took them by surprise. I don't know about you, but I think I would be kind of pooped by the time going 25 miles, climbing 2,000 feet. I think I'd be gassed, right? But it says that they took them by surprise. How did that happen? I don't know. God made that happen. Look at verses 9 and 10. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel so that Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. How did that happen? I don't know, but God does. Because God's into details. Now, if that's not enough, take a look at verse 11. It says, as they fled before Israel on the road down through Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. That's cool. You know, they're getting away. They're on the road. They're getting away. And so here's God throwing down, He's hurling hailstones at the Amorites. What's interesting is there is also Israelites in there. Think of God. Amorite, Amorite, Israelite, Amorite, Amorite, Israelite. Okay. And He's nailing them. More of them died by the hailstones than by the swords of the Israelites. How does that happen? We've got a God of the details. If you're getting mucked and mired down by the details, we've got a God of the details. Can I give you a word of encouragement? It's better that you and I know the who than the how. It's better for you and me to know the who than the how. So often we don't go through those doors like Paul talked about because all of the details. What if we were to trust God with those details? In verse 12, it says, sun stands still over Gibeon and the moon over Valley of Ajon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation of Israel triumphed over their enemies. First of all, the sun does stand still, right? The sun doesn't move. We orbit around it. But something happened to make the day prolonged. Because if night happened, they're going to escape. Now, I don't know, did the sun stand still? I think we'd probably fall off. I think the oceans would empty, right? I don't know how it happened, but it says it happened. And God is in those details. I think that is so cool. Here's the thing for you and me. whatever you're facing and say, well, that might be fine for Tom and somebody else, but you don't know the complexities that I'm dealing with. Guys, all things are possible with God. All things. Look at verse 13 and 14. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation of Israel triumphed over its enemies, as is written by the book of Isaiah. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. There's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. We sang about it. Do you believe it? The Lord is fighting for you. The Lord is fighting for an open door for you. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that likes the details? Last week, Nathan was at an advisory committee meeting, and we had a young lady named Ashley come in who's pregnant. Ashley said, if it wasn't for Teen Challenge, I would be dead and then my baby would be dead. And I know that to be true. I'm seeing that with lives that are being changed. We water baptized 54 men and women within the last month. Those things would not have happened if I just trusted myself with the details. What is God calling you to? What is that life-transforming thing that God is calling you to that if you trust Him for the details, if you start praying big God-sized prayers, you would see happen? Are you being paralyzed? Are you being discouraged? Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come so that you can have life and have it to the fullest. Let's pray big God-sized prayers. Let's trust God for the details. And then third, move forward in faith. Do, friends, what only you can do. You see, with this building project, I needed to ask folks for support. If they said no, I thanked them for their time and I moved on because God had called me to it. I've never designed a building like that before, so I did the best I could do leaning on the will of God. Do you know how hard it is to find employees in this town? I trusted God for that, but I did what I could do. There's some times that we can trust and we can pray, but then you have to take steps of faith to do what only you can do. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand, and not one of them will withstand you. Friends, whatever the promise is that God is giving you, He's saying to you, do not be afraid. I'm giving them into your hand, and not one of them will withstand you. God needs you. God needs me to walk forward in faith and to follow His will. Joshua triumphed because he followed the will of God. Well, how do I know the will of God? Psalm 119 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Read the word of God every day. Seek the word of God, and He will show you the steps that you are to take. And then trust the Lord, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will set your path straight. I find so often that the Lord has called Christians to take big, bold steps. But honestly, I find that we pull back, we stop short. I can't tell you how my role in Rochester has been very unique because I'm not viewed as competition to other pastors. I can't tell you how often I get with ministry leaders and they tell me, God's called me to this, God's called me to that. Other Christians tell me the same thing. And then why aren't you walking forth in it? Oh, but do you know all the details? Do you know all the complexities? Question is, how big is your God? Are you trusting Him with the details? Are you moving forward in faith? Those three things, you guys, were on my whiteboard up until about a month ago because I had to erase it to do a cash flow. But those three things are on my heart every day because God showed me, and there's a memorial to it that's changing hearts and lives today. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd come forward. What I want to ask you today, you guys, where has the devil, where has the world caused you to stop short? Has God called you to move forward in an area of forgiveness? Maybe you need to forgive somebody that's hurt you. Maybe God's called you to go to somebody and ask them to forgive you because of a hurt you've caused them, but you haven't done that for whatever reason. Has God called you to take a big step of faith like He did with me with this building project? I'm not even going to attempt to read your mail. Where have you stopped short of a promise of God? Today, as we play this last song, what I want to do is I want to encourage you to expect a miracle. I want to encourage you in this worship time, and then I'm going to come back and close it. But here's what I want you to do. Would you say, God, help me? And I believe that the Lord is going to move in an amazing way if we expect a miracle and start praying big God-sized prayers, if we start trusting Him with the details, but then if we promise to move forward in faith and do what only we can do.